It's time for Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright. Have you ever wondered if there's more to life than you're currently living? Then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Every week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. Guests will come from many different backgrounds, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. Every show is a dose of inspiration. This is Success Profiles Radio. And now, here's your host, Brian K. Wright.
Hello and welcome to Success Profiles Radio. I'm your host, Brian K. Wright, and it's an absolute pleasure to be with you here today. I'm honored that you chose to spend part of your day with me here, and this is going to be a fantastic and amazing show. I will introduce my guest shortly, and I promise we're going to have a lot of fun this hour, and it will be terrific. If you've been with me for any length of time, you know that I usually like to take a minute or two to share some things I'm learning and thinking about lately, and I do this every single week. But this week's little gold nugget is actually an announcement that I'm very, very excited about. I released a new book a few days ago, and it's called The Greatest Lessons I Learned From My Coach. It is my 10th book, and it represents some of the best wisdom I've accumulated throughout my career from my coaches. I was also blessed to have several talented entrepreneurs contribute what they've learned as well. When the wisdom of several people comes together in one place, the result is greater than the sum of its parts. If you have not yet hired a coach, you'll want to pick this up on Amazon and learn why it's such a great idea. And if you do have a coach, then perhaps you'll find some nuggets here that will add to your own experience. Do yourself a favor and get copies for you and your entrepreneurial friends. I promise it'll be very much worth your time. And if you have not downloaded and subscribed to Success Profiles Radio on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, please do that. Leave a 5-star review. That would be highly appreciated. And I thank you so much for that in advance. With all that in mind, I want to introduce my guest. His name is Lance Rowlick. And let me tell you about him. He's known as the King of Franchising. And he's the CEO of ION Franchising, an industry-leading franchise consulting and development group that represents over 800 franchise brands and business opportunities in every imaginable category. He's also the host of the podcast ION Franchising, which has over 300 five-star reviews and ranks in the top 1.5% of all podcasts globally. He's helped over 1,000 people go from wannabe entrepreneurs to franchise owners with his work, and he's helped franchises such as TGI Fridays grow to $225 million plus in revenue. He's passionate about making business ownership accessible to everyone and gives people the opportunity to take control of their financial future forever with franchising. So we have a lot to unwrap and unravel. I cannot wait to explore this topic in more detail. So here we are with my very special guest, Lance Rowlick. Lance, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Brian, I'm fabulous. Thank you for having me. My favorite topic, franchising.
As it should be, since that is your life's work. So my first question is, did you envision early on that you would be where you are right now?
No, never. I thought I was going to take the easy route and join my father on Wall Street, a career that I was being groomed for virtually my entire life. And it was boring. I wanted something a little bit more challenging. Most people would have killed for the opportunity to be sitting on a trading desk, like I had that opportunity. But I really wanted to do something different. I wanted to leave Manhattan, the concrete jungle, and find my greener pastures, so to speak. So there's the answer for you. No.
Was he supportive of that, or was he disappointed?
He was definitely disappointed. He was more conservative than both of my grandparents. Interestingly, both grandfathers, I should say, were very entrepreneurial. One was a real estate attorney and real estate investor. And my dad's dad was a Polish immigrant that I barely can understand that created his own supermarket empire throughout Brooklyn and Queens. And it started with a little corner market that he did with a friend and bought his friend out. So dad really ended up in something amazing. He followed his older brother onto Wall Street, and dad became a partner in what became the largest over-the-counter trading house on Wall Street, essentially the wholesale side of the business. And so he was disappointed. He thought I was going to follow him, and I was never that guy. I had too much of both grandfather's blood, if you will.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be my own rainmaker.
Yeah, I can certainly understand and appreciate that. So what early experiences taught you the most about entrepreneurship?
Yeah, everything watching my grandfather work. I'll tell you my favorite early image, if I can recall, was Grandpa getting out of his Cadillac, smoking a cigar in his whatever they wore in the old days in the 60s. The outfit he was wearing looked like he just got off the golf course, although he didn't play golf. That matching coordinated blue outfit, blue shoes, blue pants, and blue shirt with his cigar hanging out of his mouth. And I remember saying to my mother, "I want to be like Grandpa someday." And she said, "Why is that?" It's like, it just seems like he's very relaxed and he gets to do whatever he wants. And she says, "Well, he's the boss." And I said, "Well, I want to be the boss." That was my early days of entrepreneurship, the earliest day.
Yeah. So the idea of being the boss, is that anything like you thought it would be?
Heck yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get to create as much money as you want to make and create your own schedule. So it is. I was pretty much groomed that way my entire life. And although my expectation was to work for dad, at some point, dad actually told me after that, he's like, "I knew you'd be unemployable. You need to, go do your entrepreneurship stuff." And to be honest, my first connection to entrepreneurship, besides call it in an unprofessional way, I mean, when I was 14, I'm selling Russell Athletic sweatshirts at a flea market for a family friend. That is
Oh,
very
wow.
entrepreneurial, but that
For
wasn't
sure.
a business somebody to, make a fortune at.
Yeah.
My first real trek out west is when an uncle invited me into his TGI Fridays launch, as you said at the opening. And
Yeah.
that's my oldest success story, is I helped him build what he thought was going to be a $1 billion business. Imagine a $1 billion business in 1989, what that looked like. Well, in our case, we got to 225 million a year with a TGI Fridays franchise. And that was really my first venture helping, launch something special. And I got to
How
work.
many locations was that?
If I remember correctly, 60 something, 65 or so, 60, I think it was 65.
That is absolutely amazing.
Good
So,
volume.
yeah, for sure. So, what is it like? And I'm just coming up with this question on the fly. What is it like running that many locations? How is that different from just one, running one? I imagine the skill set is so much different.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. I always tell people the hardest part about entrepreneurship is starting. To launch one of anything, if it's one restaurant, it's a grind. It's that buying a job, the classic buying a job that you hear people talk about all the time. And the reality is, to do one of anything is the hardest. To duplicate that and do two, it starts to become, like in the gym, you're doing your reps, you're getting it, you understand it. To do two is not a big deal. To do three, you really have to hone your skills and be a master to do three of something, because you certainly can't duplicate yourself, but you can't cut yourself in thirds either. So I know that when I was able to run three restaurants, that I could run 30 restaurants, because it's not me any longer. It's me doing it through other people. And that's what true entrepreneurship's all about. There's an old saying that nobody's ever built an empire by themselves. Although I did recently hear that, with artificial intelligence being what it is, there might be somebody that becomes the world's first billionaire all by himself with nobody. I don't know if that's possible. To be continued.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, I was reading a book and I don't remember which book it was. I don't know if it was a Robert Kiyosaki book, but somebody said that they envision a day where a 15-year-old would become a billionaire someday because the technology exists and young people grasp and embrace that technology, and they'll achieve those financial goals sooner than we could have, especially back in the day. So we've got a couple minutes or so before the break. What do you think is your rock bottom or defining moment?
My defining moment is, to be honest, when I got divorced the first time, and the only time, thank God. And I said to myself, "What the heck did I just do? I wasted all of this time, wasted all of this time to get nowhere." And It was awful. I had a restaurant at the time that I sold, that I created on my own, that I was very proud of. And you start reflecting on where did I go wrong? Where were all the red flags? And then, you get to do it all over again, without that person in your life, and pay that person off and move on. And it was a bad time, but you learn. You don't want to make the same mistake twice, and you got to fail forward, right?
Yeah. So did that experience encourage you to be more cautious about certain decisions in your life or in your business?
Absolutely. At least in my personal life. And I thought because of that, I'd never get married again. And then, of course, many years later, I fell in love and I said, well, I'm not going to get married again. And guess what my now new wife said? I just did the reveal. I got married again. At the time, she said, yeah, that's not going to work for me. If we're going to be together, we're going to get married. And I couldn't live without her. And it turned out it was the best decision of my life.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think is the highest value skill anyone can develop?
People skills, to be able to work with people, to relate to people, to understand people, to motivate people, inspire people. It to me is the number one skill. And when I'm helping people get into a franchise business today, got off the phone with somebody earlier, right before our call, and they didn't have sales ability, which is probably my second most valuable skill, but relating to people in general and being able to motivate people and work with people is a pretty incredible thing. A lot of people that get into the restaurant business maybe have great financial skills. Guess what? They might not have ever managed people and have a really difficult time managing people for the first time.
Yeah. And it's interesting when someone encounters somebody who knows how to cook really well. Oh, you should run a restaurant. No, different skill set altogether.
100%. Classic
Just
e-myth book, which we can talk about as well.
exactly. Just because you can do the technical stuff doesn't mean that you have the people skills and the soft skills and the managerial skills to pull off running an entire business. I certainly understand that.
The soft skills tend to be the hard skills in reality.
That's absolutely true. We're going to come back after the break. This is Success Profiles Radio. We're talking with Lance Relic, and we are going to talk about franchising. And this is going to be a lot of fun to talk about. We will talk about why buying a franchise is a no-brainer. I'll ask him if franchising is the easiest way to millionaire wealth, and a whole lot more when we come back. This is Success Profiles Radio.
Is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
It's the Fitness Minute with fitness expert Annette Hammond.
According to a Gallup poll, 56% of Americans want to lose weight. Most of us know that muscle burns more calories than fat. So when you're trying to lose weight, you want to lose body fat while preserving the muscle you have. Lifting weights while you're losing weight is not an option, it's a requirement. According to a Penn State study, when dieters don't pump iron, 22% of their weight loss comes from losing muscle. So if you lose 20 pounds without lifting weights, almost 5 pounds will be muscle. Upping your protein intake is important, and Columbia University researchers found that protein intake plays a significant role in preserving lean muscle mass during weight loss. Preserve your muscle as you drop the body fat. I'm Annette Hammond. Like us on Facebook at Fitness Minute with Annette Hammond.
If you are in business, what is the number one thing that stops revenue growth? Not having enough leads. Data is the new gold rush. With PhoneSites, that is never an issue. You can generate as many leads as you want without paying a lead broker. With PhoneSites, you can build a website or sales funnel from your mobile device in 5 minutes or less without any technical skills or without downloading an app. It's easy and you have nothing to lose. Try it for free for 14 days at PhoneSites.com/Brian. Once again, that's PhoneSites.com/Brian.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we're back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Lance Graulich, and we are going to talk about franchising. And as I alluded to earlier in the show, if you've not picked up my brand new book, it's called The Greatest Lessons I Learned from My Coach. And if you have a coach, perhaps some of this will add to your existing knowledge base and wisdom. And if you've never had a coach, there are a lot of great reasons to pick up the book on Amazon. You'll be so glad you did. Order multiple copies for your friends. I would be grateful for that. So Lance, let me ask you, why is buying a franchise a no-brainer for entrepreneurs that don't want to take a lot of risk?
Franchising is modeling success, Brian. That's all it is. Success absolutely leaves clues. And that's what franchising is built on. It's a blueprint or a model that somebody else has created and you're simply following. So I ask my clients, where do you rank or rate in the world? When I joined Wingstop as a franchisee, when I joined Krispy Kreme Donuts, got into a partnership with that, with a family friend, it was, you know, somebody asked me, are you going to be the best franchisee? I don't know. I know in life I'm above average, so I expect that. And it turned out I was a top 1% franchisee at both brands. So the bottom line is there is a formula, there is a process, there is a blueprint to follow. For every franchise, there is a franchise disclosure document that is produced. Let me bore you with some legal details. So the franchise disclosure document has an earnings claim in it. Item 19 of 23 items is the earnings claim. And you can see, for example, that my favorite air conditioning franchise, the average franchisee does $4 million in revenue. Wow. And I happen to know the investment is light. $150,000 if you're going to be a hands-on owner, $235,000 or so if you're going to hire a manager and put a manager in place, someone that has the technical ability to run that business and you simply are following up. So most people, Brian, do not have an original idea that actually needs to be born. If we need to be reminded of that, you can watch an episode of Shark Tank and have Mr. Wonderful tell people, you know, you're not solving a problem. That's not a problem that needs to be solved. I mean, business is defined as starting something that needs to fill a niche that, you know, there's a problem for. Franchising is successful because there's so many essential businesses that obviously have a need.
So that leads me to my next question. Can you be successful as a franchisee even if you don't have the technical skills in that business? For example, I do not have a lot of technical or mechanical skills.
Yes.
Could I buy an air conditioning company and succeed with it?
Yes, you can. And my favorite example of that is a friend of mine that owns 19 Great Clips hair salons. He's bald, Brian, and does not know how to cut hair.
Just like me.
When he first heard the idea of Great Clips, he fell out of his chair laughing and then actually got mad because he thought it was a stupid idea. However, he didn't make the connection or the correlation to understand that your skills, whatever anybody is doing today, whether you're 30 or 50, your skills are transferable to businesses. Whether it's your sales ability, your operational skills, whatever it might be. But as far as the technical aspects, franchising is set up so you can hire experts or technicians in those fields. And those folks can be trained by corporate, the franchisor, to go through their training to get up to speed.
Yeah. And that reminds me, people like Shaquille O'Neal, Magic Johnson, they have their hands in many, many, many businesses. A lot of them are franchises and they don't work in any of those businesses. They hire it out.
Yes. Yes. Drew Brees owns a whole bunch of franchises.
Yeah.
And he is not running his Ever Bowl locations. He definitely is not.
Yeah, for sure. So you alluded earlier that there are some things that make someone a great franchisee. You were one of them. What separates great franchisees from the rest? I would imagine the ability to follow a system is top notch.
100%. That is number one on the list. There are plenty of people, as crazy as it sounds, maybe like a marriage, The classic marriage where you expect that you're going to change your spouse, or people that get into a franchise and can't follow the system, they can't help themselves for some reason, and expect that they're going to change something about this system that they just joined. So that's a problem. Someone that is good with people, because if you're going to get into the air conditioning business and you've never managed people before, well, there's a learning curve. You have to understand and adapt and figure out how to manage people. Now, if you're hiring a GM type that has managed people, then you have to work on managing your manager, so to speak. But people management, financial skills, pure grit and hard work. I hate to say it, it is not an outdated, fallacy. It's a reality. Hard work does pay off. And I work harder than, or I did, not anymore. I worked harder than most people. I might check on my restaurants more often than people, even though I had a full management team. You might have heard the expression, you want to inspect what you expect. When I walk into one of my restaurants, I felt like I was Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Terminator in the old days, where I was scanning the room to see what was going on. Is everything clean? Are employees in the appropriate uniform? Is walk-in cooler and see how the is the chicken rotated? Is the chicken all dotted and appropriate dates on everything? So the more you do that for your staff and set the expectations and ensure the standards are being upheld, the better it is. A lot of people hire a manager and then go on vacation or play golf every day and never check up on their business. There's a lot of bad things. A lot of things go wrong when you're not paying attention to your business.
So when you did your restaurant visits, were they always surprise visits so that you could see what was really going on?
Not always, but sometimes yes. And that is what any great franchisor does when they fly into town to go visit a franchisee, regardless of the, what the brand is. There are technically announced visits and unannounced surprise visits. And obviously, you can get a lot more to look at potentially if you're completely unannounced. So there were definitely plenty of occasions that I would come in unannounced. But, when I became an experienced operator and I had an experienced team that we knew each other well, it's a two-way street. And they knew me. They knew what a pain in the neck I was. I had very high standards, very competitive. And that's another talent or skill, by the way, is that competitive nature. I always want to be the best. So
For sure.
they knew, and they knew what those things were that I was looking for specifically. If I walked into one of my restaurants and there was a customer waiting in line and it didn't seem like anybody was there, boy, it's always a bad sign when I felt I have to help this customer in my street clothes. But believe me, I would and I will.
Absolutely. So I teased the question, is franchising the easiest way to millionaire wealth? I'm going to guess you're going to say yes.
Franchising, let's be honest, Brian, you probably have heard it. Franchising, like many industries, gets a bad rap. There's a lot of people out there like, why do you need a franchise? Start your own business. Start your own business. Well, that's a good way to fail. Unless you're Mark Zuckerberg in college. You ever notice the common theme why so many successful entrepreneurs are successful when they launch a business in college? Because they have absolutely nothing to lose. If Mark Zuckerberg failed, or if Michael Dell failed, or if Steve Jobs failed, guess what? They are back in the exact same spot. They have not filed bankruptcy. They have not filed for divorce. They have not lost a home. They're in the exact same spot 100%.
Yeah, for
Right?
sure.
So franchising gives you the system. And if you don't, statistics show the average person doesn't have an idea that needs to be born. I mentioned that earlier. So franchising with the copy of the franchise disclosure document that shows you everything pertinent to the franchise and the ability to validate. So Brian, if you were going through the process with me, besides the disclosure document that shows a lot of useful information that's disclosed to you, you will have an opportunity to speak to real life franchisees. In the process, the brand will connect you with them. Either they'll hand you a list of 100 franchisees. Say, Brian, I need you to call 5 of them and report back when you're done with that. You're going to hear things like, I would do it all over again. I'm making a lot of money. They support me. I love the way they do marketing. If you don't hear a lot of great stuff, that is not a brand for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a process to keep you on track, but franchising is a business with guardrails to keep you safe, make you successful. If you have the appropriate raw ingredients, there are a lot of people, like a bad marriage, that pick the wrong franchise for them. And that is difficult. We've all met people that have gotten divorced, like me in my story earlier.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but there are people that pick the wrong franchise as well.
Yeah, for sure. And we got less than 2 minutes to our next break. That leads me to ask, how do you figure out what franchise opportunity is best for you?
Yeah, well, I have an assessment on my website. It's a pretty scientific assessment I ask everybody to do. Most people do choose to do it, and it helps me understand, based on your mind, on your mindset, skill set, and life experiences, what brands and or industries might be best for you. And then I ask a whole bunch of questions, and those questions start with things like, what is your what? And your what, there's actually a couple of what's. What is your investment? What is your role you plan on playing in this business? Mm-hmm. And by the way, on the investment part, you'll be shocked. There's a lot of great franchise businesses for under $250,000 where you can get multiple territories, especially in home services, where you can build a multi-million dollar empire, not just a $1 million empire. Mm-hmm. Off that small investment. So we can talk a little bit more about that. The last piece of the what is really back to, what are your skills? What do you feel comfortable with? What are you not comfortable with? Things like that. And it is okay in most brands to obviously hire for the skills that you're not good at. There are some brands, I mentioned Great Clips, they want you to be a full-time owner operator. Mm-hmm. It might sound strange, but they really want a hands-on owner to be vested in their own business.
Absolutely. And we will come right back after the break. This is Success Profiles Radio. We're talking about franchising with Lance Grolick. We will be right back on the other side.
Is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
Have you ever thought about writing a book? Surveys show that 81% of people wish they could, but many never do. If you're one of those people, I can tell you why. You don't think you have time, you may not know how, or you might not believe you are a good enough writer. When you're working with an experienced coach, these reasons go away because I will help you every step of the way. If you want to know more about how to write a nonfiction book, whether it's business, self-help, or how-to, reach out to me at www.briankwright.com for more information. Once again, that's briankwright.com. If you are in business, what is the number one thing that stops revenue growth? Not having enough leads. Data is the new gold rush. With phone sites, that is never an issue. You can generate as many leads as you want without paying a lead broker. With phone sites, you can build a website or sales funnel from your mobile device in 5 minutes or less without any technical skills or without downloading an app. It's easy and you have nothing to lose. Try it for free for 14 days at phonesites.com/Brian. Once again, that's phonesites.com/Brian.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we're back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Lance Grolick, and we are talking about all things relating to franchising. And if you've been listening to the commercials in the background, you know that I help people write their books. And so if writing a book is something that's been on your list of things to do, whether you just want to do it and fulfill a dream, or whether you want to use it to build your brand and your business and create multiple streams of income from it, I can certainly help you with that. You can go to callwithbrian.com, get on my calendar. I'd love to talk to you about whatever your book idea is. I'd be happy to talk to you. So, Lance, do some of your clients who start franchises still have 9-to-5 jobs?
Absolutely. And that's the gazillion dollar question I get all the time. While there are some franchises that want a full-time owner, most franchises or quite a few franchises today allow people to be what we call semi-absentee owners, a goofy franchise term that means that you'll work on the business, not necessarily in the business, 10 to 20 hours a week, and you'll have a full-time manager that's trained by corporate or the franchisor. And, you know, it is absolutely possible for a smart individual to be a part-time owner in the right franchise system. And that's part of what I help people identify to match them up with. Because I know the brands that are easier doesn't mean they're going to make more money. There are some brands that are definitely more difficult. There are some brands that might sound unappealing initially. We've all heard about the boring, unsexy type businesses. But, you know, when you mention air conditioning, plumbing, electrical to the average person that knows nothing about those things, their eyes kind of glaze over and go, I would never do that. That's terrible. Yes. But when I explain to people have exited for $60 million or $100 million as a franchisee, and they never even invented this brand, people get quite interested.
Yeah. So very much like a real estate agent might sell the same home two or three times in his or her career, do you sell the same franchise more than once?
Yeah, you know, I do. I like to say that I'm a true consultant because, you know, I don't sell 15 of the same exact brand every year or nothing else. I do have a wide variety of brands that I show people on a regular basis. But I'll tell you, last year, for example, I just got back from Nashville and got an award as a top sales guy. I sold so many Rolling Suds franchises last year. Their claim to fame is they're going to be, or they already are, I think, the world's largest power washing franchise or power washing business. Now, you're thinking, well, I could walk in a Home Depot or Lowe's and walk out with a power washer. Why would I buy this franchise? And the answer is, this is not that franchise. This is a proprietary power washer. You can clean a four-story building from the ground floor. They even have drones that hold the power washer and can clean the top of a water tower. Yeah. This is an incredible brand for commercial and residential cleaning. The home corporate territories, if you will, did $2.2 million last year for the year in cold Pennsylvania, where they had no business for a few months.
Wow.
With high net income and no major competitors. And two of the biggest guys, or three of the biggest guys in franchising, are investors of this, guys that own hundreds of other brands. Yeah. So powerful, incredible brand that I repeat often. But you have to be a full-time owner operator, unless you already have an organization in place, which there are people that do. A gentleman that owns a lot of Fast Signs, great franchise, did 40 million plus with them last year. Yeah. He just joined Rolling Suds as a franchisee.
Wow.
So, you know, success breeds success. So successful franchisees know where to go.
For sure. How do you identify the hottest new opportunities?
You know, I hate to say show me the money, but at the end of the day, why do people get into a business? Mm-hmm. They want to make money. And my job is to keep up with my reading, looking at FDDs, the disclosure documents, looking at that item 19, which is the earnings claim, hearing from people out there, understanding where the happy franchisees are. Franchisee satisfaction is incredibly important in the franchise selection process because, again, Brian, if you're interested in a brand and you're doing validation and you find out there's some unhappy franchisees, you're probably not going to join the brand. I equate it a lot to like joining a fraternity or a sorority. When you're rushing, for anybody that has been in a fraternity or sorority, you pay attention to who is really... It's one thing if there's jocks in the franchise, there might be some more educational focused or academic focused individuals, not all jocks. You want to know what type of organization you're joining and who is in it, and will you feel comfortable and fit the culture? So there's a lot of factors and a lot of boxes to check. I've had people only interested in making money. Not a bad thing, especially after you've worked really hard in a career and are really fed up with hitting a ceiling and not writing your own schedule and all those things. But then I've had other people really honest with me saying, you know, I want to make more money than I was making, but money is really not the most important thing. I want to build something that's amazing for my community. You know, senior home care is a hot, hot space that still a lot of people don't know anything about.
Right.
Senior home care, we're talking about companion care, non-medical, where an aide comes into your home to take care of your father, mother, whoever it might be that needs help. It's not all only for seniors, but in most cases, it's for people that are seniors. And today in America, every day, another 15,000 Americans turn 65. So this is a business that's going to grow straight up for about the next 30 years. So I can tell you that I got a friend of mine, who, by the way, is a fraternity brother, a home care franchise recently. And he just got a second territory. He loved it so much. He got special approval to buy a second territory before the 1 year mark. This is a brand that they feel like they want to see how you do after 1 year, but he got special approval to buy a second territory. He was doing so well and he's killing it and he's loving it.
Yeah, for sure.
No experience in that business.
How do we know if our local area will support the kind of business you want to buy?
Well, that's a great question. Now we have more technology at our fingertips. There are amazing real estate related platforms that support the franchise world. So I'll give you an example. What a lot of franchise brands do, they'll get, you know, a company like Buxton, or I think there's Site Zeus. There's a whole bunch of them out there. And what they'll do is they'll chart the success of their franchisees now. So let's say it's a, you know, McDonald's. Everybody knows McDonald's. So let's say McDonald's Corporation gives a company like Buxton their top 10 locations in the United States. And Buxton looks at the addresses, they look at the revenue, and they start to compare why those locations are successful. Does it have to do with the fact that they're in areas with higher household income, lower household income? Who's eating McDonald's food? You know, and but the fact of the matter is you have certain metrics that are that are essentially fixed. We know where the successful McDonald's locations are.
And then
they can do an overlay of the remaining territories in the United States to determine where and predict where the next successful location would be. You can do that in home services. You can do that in restaurants. You can do that in home care. There's a way to figure that out. But from a high level, to answer your question, Brian, it's based on demographics. If you're in senior home care, you need seniors. So every time you get a territory mapped, whether my client is in Florida, Iowa, or Southern California, you're looking for a certain amount of seniors to equate to a territory. In Iowa, you might have to go within a 15-mile radius to get that. In Florida, you might have to, might be a 2-mile radius.
Yeah.
So, but a territory is still a territory.
Yeah, for sure. So we've got maybe 3 minutes or so to our break. Tell us about the mindset that's required to succeed in franchising.
You ask great questions, and mindset is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
There are so many people that are stuck. I always say that stuck and start with the same two letters, but they finish differently. There's a lot of people that are stuck and they're afraid to start. And I mentioned my assessment earlier, and that helps me determine what your comfort zone is. One of the best factors I get out of the assessment, I had a gentleman take the assessment the other day, and it came back to me saying that his comfort zone is large. And I knew, having a conversation with him, that he had a large comfort zone. Unfortunately, he was scared of everything. He grew up in a family that tried entrepreneurship and everybody seemed to fail. So at the end of the day, when people get off the phone with me, they tend to tell everybody in their family that had a great call with somebody that said, hey, I'm capable of being a business owner. Well, the reality is, if their friends and family have never successfully been a business owner or their own boss, guess what they're going to say to that individual, Brian? What are you, nuts? Why would you think you're capable? And at the end of the day, mindset is what kicks off everything. And if you're not hanging around with business owners, it's even more difficult. And most people are not hanging around with business owners. So what I tell people, I truly try to prep them for the battle they might have with their friends and family, trying to get to a different place, trying to better themselves. And sometimes people get jealous. Sometimes people don't get it, especially if this individual might have failed in trying to do some things on their own prior. Everybody tends to remind people of their failures. You remember that time you tried to sell solar door to door and it failed? Well, guess what? It's a different time. It's a different time. There are many people that fail multiple times before they're successful. So mindset is everything. And I do help people with that. And I understand in that first call with them, it's all about me establishing trust and rapport so people feel more comfortable to be vulnerable and tell me their truth.
Yeah, absolutely. This is our final break. I cannot believe how fast this is going. We're talking with Lance Growlick about franchising. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the questions that you might still have. For example, what if I don't have that franchise fee? Is there a down payment? How can I get funding? How can I afford this? Also, if someone wants to buy a franchise from Lance, what does that client experience look like? And finally, if you already have a franchise and you want to know your concept is franchisable, what does that conversation look like? We'll come right back after the break.
To motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
It's the Fitness Minute with fitness expert Annette Hammond.
With the newness of spring, it may be time to change up your workout. It's always a good idea to cross train, but there are also times that you need to change the way you work out. If you've been doing the same thing in your exercise for a while, and your results have seemed to stall, it's time to change things up. Making little adjustments can add up to big gains. If you lift light or moderate weight, why not lift heavier weights with less repetitions? Shock your body and get the results you are after. If your daily walk is not giving you the outcome that you desire, try doing cardio intervals. Walk for 3 minutes, then run for 1 minute. Repeat this sequence until you've completed at least 30 minutes. The calorie burn is much higher, and it's good for your body and mind to change up your workout. I'm Annette Hammond. Visit our website at AnnetteHammond.com.
Have you ever thought about writing a book? Surveys show that 81% of people wish they could, but many never do. If you're one of those people, I can tell you why. You don't think you have time, you may not know how, or you might not believe you are a good enough writer. When you're working with an experienced coach, these reasons go away because I will help you every step of the way. If you want to know more about how to write a nonfiction book, whether it's business, self-help, or how-to, reach out to me at www.briankwright.com for more information. Once again, that's briankwright.com.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we're back. Down the stretch we come. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest is Lance Growlick, and we're talking about franchising. And once again, if you have not downloaded and subscribed to Success Profiles Radio on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, please do that. Leave a 5-star review. That would mean a lot to me. And once again, pick up my new book, The Greatest Lessons I Learned from My Coach. It's on Amazon now. So Lance, for those who really want to explore buying a franchise, but they know they don't have $50,000, $100,000, $250,000 lying around, how can you help them afford to do this? Is there a down payment? Is there funding available? Talk about that, please.
Yeah, funding is available. The SBA, the Small Business Administration, loves franchises. There's actually an SBA registry, and there's all kind, and most franchise brands are on it. And that means that SBA lenders can fund. Typically, even if it's a $150,000 SBA loan, I have a few banks that will do a deal. You can put down as little as, it's a weird amount, like 11.5%. Let's call it 12% down on $150,000 to get a $150,000 loan. Pretty low. A lot of people can afford that. But you know, normally it's 20% down. So if it's a $200,000 SBA loan, you just put down 40 grand. Mm. So I always tell people, if you have $20,000, come have a conversation with me. Yeah. I have brands as low as $60,000. That's not true. I have brands as low as $25,000, but if you have the ability to look at things up to $60,000, I have quite a few options, up to $100,000, even more options. So I have conventional lenders. I have SBA lenders. I have people that'll do a rollover business startup loan with a 401k rollover. Happy to educate you and help you in all this. I have a lender or 10 for literally everything. And if one lender doesn't work, we go to the next. So no problems there whatsoever.
Fantastic. So if someone wants to talk to you about buying a franchise, what does that client experience look like?
Well, the client experience is just reach out. You can find me everywhere. I have a unique name. Instagram is a good place. LinkedIn. You can also just go to lancegralick.com or ionfranchising.com. And I can tell you, you can do the free assessment, which you'll find on those websites. Or you can DM me. You can DM me, let's see, Brian. DM me Brian, and I'll know where you came from, or Success Profiles.
Yeah.
And I will send you the free assessment. And my services are actually free. You mentioned real estate a little earlier, Brian. Mm-hmm. And the reality is I don't get paid like a real estate agent that gets a piece of that, you know, the commission at closing. I get paid like a recruiter. So my services are truly free and I get paid by the brands. So whether you ever found me or not, you pay the same franchise fee to join a franchise.
That's absolutely fantastic. So let's say someone has a business and it's been going for a while and they think they have their systems down. How do they know if their concept is franchisable or not?
Yeah. I love the question and I do a lot of franchise setup. I have a golf franchise we just set up where you swipe a key fob and you hit golf balls 24/7, almost like an Anytime Fitness, but with all the metrics and what have you and many others this year we've already set up. So how do you know? Number one, do you have a model that you know is actually wanted? Perhaps there are people already asking for your concept and maybe they even think it's a franchise. That's a good indication. Is it a profitable model that you are proud to show off and then be able to teach people how to do this? Is this something that is truly scalable and duplicatable that will work in most cities in America? There are plenty of brands that won't necessarily work in all 50 states, but you definitely want something that is able to be successful in at least most of the country. And so having a profitable model, having a desirable looking concept that let's just say has some sort of secret sauce to it. Mm-hmm. Ideally, we want to be able to get you a trademark.
Yes.
If we can't get your trademark, we might have other options. You're not 100% required to have a trademark. But ideally you do want that. Mm-hmm. And are you the right individual to be able to coach and mentor people in this process? And I've had occasions where the founder is a great, smart individual, mm-hmm. but I'm talking to a lady now that's 70 years old and she has another generation that would be the mentors for what she has already created because she's just too tired to do it. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. We just need somebody that is an expert that is in the ownership group that can help, keep this ball rolling. Because at the end of the day, it's the standards that the founders have set. Whether the founders have exited or not, we want this concept to be the same everywhere, like a McDonald's.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. Are there certain industries that tend to lend themselves to franchising more easily than others?
You know, everybody listening knows that there are a lot of restaurant franchises and there are a lot of personal care franchises because they're all brick and mortar. European Wax Center and Great Clips and Sport Clips and all these different franchises. Now all the IV drip brands that are out. But the reality is home service brands are hot. Everything in the trades we mentioned already, from air conditioning, plumbing, handyman services, and what have you, to, you know, restoration brands. There's a ton of home service brands, home care, senior home care I mentioned specifically. And now we're, you know, med spas. But it's amazing. Business service organizations, you know, tax businesses. I have a cost reduction franchise called Schooley Mitchell that's amazing. That is a low investment. There are people that are netting $500,000+. There's even people that net $1 million a year, saving people money. And it's completely recession proof. So there are truly franchises for absolutely anything and everything. I'm setting up an addiction recovery franchise right now. And Ellie Mental Health, they got purchased 3 years. They were a franchise, a mental health franchise, the first of its kind. I think they got purchased, bought out by a private equity group for about $100 million after 3 years. The beauty of the franchise model, Brian, is that a successful independent business owner can set up a franchise system reasonably, and I can help them with that. I have multiple attorneys and a great company that I work with specifically. And you can exit as the franchisor based on your EBITDA, your cash flow. 10 times cash flow is normal. However, there's a brand I know in the insulation space that just exited for 30 times cash flow. $3 million cash flow. They exited for $90 million.
That's incredible. I love that. So, confidentiality in place. Your favorite client story?
My favorite client story. You know, my favorite client story is probably the one that I told earlier. If you wanna put me on a spot for a favorite, I have many. And that is my fraternity brother that came to me. He had a tech background. I met his wife, who was amazing. And sometimes the wives or the husbands, sometimes it's I get the wife and the husband might or might not join. But in this case, he was a fraternity brother that was recommended. He heard from someone else that I got them a franchise. And he and his wife came to me. They had no idea what they wanted. And again, I start with the what. What investment? And he was comfortable with something that was about $100,000 cash at least in that range. And he was going to get a loan. And then as far as what is your role, he's like, well, ideally I'd like to keep my job, but something I can gravitate to a full-time role, but I need to be allowed to be a part-time owner initially. And a brand called Home Helpers checked all his boxes. And based on his background, Home Helpers worked and he became a franchisee. And as I mentioned earlier, he got his second territory way ahead of schedule. And is absolutely loving it. My other favorite story of recent is a gentleman that worked with a couple of other consultants over the years and didn't find success. And like in any industry, whether you're hiring an attorney, a real estate agent, or a franchise broker consultant like me, not all people are created equal. I care deeply. I want people to be successful. And, you know, I want people to hand me referrals left and right, which is what my business is all about these days. And this other gentleman worked with two other consultants. He felt like they were pushing certain brands on him all the time. And he gave up on both of these individuals and came to me and said, this is what I've looked at. This is what they told me. What do you think? And I dispelled a lot of the myths or thoughts that misconceptions that maybe they pushed on him. And we started over, and I found him an amazing restoration brand called Voda, V-O-D-A. A friend of mine is the CEO. Voda is a much-needed business. My friend Dan, that's the CEO of Voda, tells people, look, if you don't want to pick Voda Restoration, pick another restoration brand, because I think it's an amazing industry, and everybody should want to be in restoration because it's completely recession-proof. If you have a a flood in your house due to a water heater exploding, or a hurricane or tornado or mold remediation or whatever it might be, a leak from the upstairs bathroom happens, it's a needed business. And they do a lot of insurance claims, and they even have a cleaning component to smooth out the bumps, if you will, I guess you can say, to make the revenue even more consistent. A lot of that clientele is looking for floor cleaning and carpet cleaning throughout the year, and they do that as well. So that was just
fantastic. A minute until the end, the question I ask everyone: who inspires and motivates you?
Boy, I'll tell you, my parents certainly did. I had amazing, amazing parents. They're both gone, sadly. Sometimes I can't believe I'm an orphan at this age. I'm 57. But you never know how much time you have on this planet. But my parents were both completely different people. For what it's worth, not to be terribly political, Dad was a staunch Republican, and Mom was on the other side of the coin as a Democrat, very liberal Democrat. They didn't fight about politics, but boy, I became an independent very quickly.
Yeah, understood. And one more time, how can we find you?
LanceGralick.com or IonFranchising.com, or hit me up on any social media. I'm the only Lance Gralick out there, last I checked. Happy to talk to anybody. Free consultation always.
Lance, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And thanks to all of you for listening. This has been Success Profiles Radio. Join me every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, where I interview another world-class achiever, learn what they did, what they overcame, and the lessons we can learn along the way. Take care, everyone. Have a great week. Goodbye.
Part of Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright. Each week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. We'll have guests that will come from many different backgrounds, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. For more on Brian and the show, check out his website, BrianKWright.com. If you've ever wondered if there's more to life than you're currently living, then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Join us again next week for more Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright.